Mark chapter 4, would you read it with me? Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along a path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Some seed fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables. So that," and here he quotes from the book of Isaiah, "they might indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." It's a strange reference. It's given a lot of trouble to a lot of people. It's considered one of the hard sayings of the New Testament. We're not going to unpack it today. So you'll have to just take that one home and mull it over and figure out what it means. Verse 13, "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed or not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." There's that admonition again. "And he said to them, 'Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and to the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away.' And he said, 'The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come.' And he said, 'With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. And when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade.' With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Thank you, Lord, for your gospel. Help us to understand. So Matthew chapter 4, it's interesting that, Mark chapter 4, it's interesting that Mark does not give us many of Jesus' parables. You might have noticed that Jesus spoke in parables quite frequently, and in the other gospels you may have encountered that there were quite a few more parables. I paged through the Gospel of Mark just to take a look and see, and then followed up with a little study and discovered that there's really only one other teaching of Jesus that is called a parable in the Gospel of Mark, and that's found in Mark chapter 12. Apart from that, all the parables of Jesus that Mark decides to tell us about are included in this chapter. Jesus gave 39 parables, and only four of them are right here, maybe five, and then another story. So that's an interesting thing for you to note. It means that Mark is trying to teach us something that is included in the parables, but is actually broader than each individual parable. He's trying to give us an idea of what Jesus would have taught and how he would have taught it, because there's a lesson to be learned in that. And that's part of what I want to share with you today. The title of this morning's message is Listen. Simply that, listen. And it's taken, obviously, from Jesus in verse 3. He says, listen. And then he immediately follows it up with another word, behold. And these words in the Greek, listen is akouo, and behold is idou. And I don't know that my pronunciation is all that brilliant, because I'm not a Greek scholar as such, but I noticed that those don't often appear together, side by side, where Jesus says, listen, see. And this is interesting to me, because I think he's really emphasizing something. The parables that we look at in this chapter all seem to have something to do with seed and sowing, except for one of them, which is about light. Understanding then that this has got something to do with the Word of God, since in his interpretation of that first parable, he made it clear that the seed was and is the Word of God, then it becomes a little more clear for us to understand what Mark's trying to get at. And I want to share this with you today, because I think last week we had a word from the Lord. Jason gave just a prophetic word during the service about each of us and our stories, and sharing our stories with other people. And it became evident to me that the Lord was challenging us in our hearts, even with Richard talking to us today from Titus, about sharing the gospel with people that are, well, like those Cretans, and not necessarily people we want to be around. And the admonition was to get out there and to share the light of Christ, the Word of God, and the Word of our testimony to others. And that seems to be the theme that's emerging in the church right now. And I think it's important for each of you to hear it as well, so that you can be challenged and stirred up in your heart for what God wants to do. So looking at the basic structure of Mark, which is part of my, as we go through the study, you're going to have to bear with that. We see here these parables. First, the parable of the sower. Then there's a little interlude where Jesus explains that parable of the sower. And then we have another parable, the parable of the lamp. And then the parable of the seed growing. Then the parable of the mustard seed. And those are the parables. And then afterwards, suddenly, there's a story. A story about what appears to be a rather demonic storm that happens on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus has authority over this, and it astonishes his disciples. So the collection of these doesn't seem to make perfect sense until you recognize that in verse 1, Jesus gets onto a boat. And then in verse 1 of chapter 5, or verse 2 of chapter 5, Jesus gets out of a boat. And so this is the movement, and it's why perhaps the translators made chapter 4 a chapter in and of itself. There's a movement here. And so as I was looking at it, it became clear to me that the parables were all given at one time. And the interlude portion where Jesus explains that parable probably happened at a different time. It's like a parenthesis, a set of parentheses that Mark includes to help us to understand what's going on in this parable. I think if we're to read it sort of in a chronological way, Jesus is in this boat and he starts giving a parable about seed, which is an interesting thing because he's by the seashore, and you would think he would rather use some stories about catching fish, especially since he's in a boat with a bunch of fishermen. But he begins to talk about seed, maybe because the crowd that was gathered there were farmers, or at least they probably were all very familiar with sowing and reaping on some level. But he takes this idea, and then he sort of begins to speak about it, and it seems almost as if he's going extemporaneously here. It's not maybe not all that well prepared, but he just begins to talk about the seed. First, he gives the story of the seed and all the different soils and the ground on which the seed falls. And then he talks about this seed that just grows without you even knowing how it grows. And then he talks about this tiny little seed that grows into a big bush, and it's so surprising. So as we think about this seed idea, you can just see Jesus, and he's just processing through the idea of what it's going to be for his disciples who are listening to him to carry the message out into the world. And as I began to see that, I thought, okay, I need this message. Now, I've been in the Lord for 45 years. Actually, a little bit, 45 years. I've been serving the Lord by his grace and haven't turned my back on him because Jesus held me tight. 45 years I've been serving the Lord. I've been married for 30 of them. I've been in full-time ministry for all of those 30 years. And I got to tell you, I need this message. And I've heard this message preached, this parable of the sower preached in children's church. I've seen it preached on TV. I've listened to it preached in almost every church I've ever been to. And I've even preached the message myself. And you guys have all heard that message so many times. When I read it, you probably didn't even pay any attention because you already know the story. It's already boring to you. That's the point. The whole point of it is everybody knows. When Jesus preaches this the first time, it's a story that they can all identify with, but it means nothing to them. It's child's play. Everybody knows. They make their living from subsistence farming. They all have to grow their own food. They know exactly what this means. They know that sometimes you plant and it doesn't grow, and sometimes you do and it produces a great harvest. What's the point, Jesus? What are you telling us? Well, the key to what he's saying is really found in that word listen, in verse 3. Jesus really wants you to pay attention. Because, as it turns out, in verse 24, pay attention to what you hear with the measure that you use, the measure that you use to listen, that is, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. Have you ever read a devotional by somebody and thought, how did they ever get that? That's amazing. Wow, that person's thought is so uplifting. That's so profound. Ever read a book by a Christian author and thought, wow, that's amazing. How did they find that in the scripture? That's it's obvious. It's right there. How did I miss that? I remember when a number of years back we were reading Tim Keller's book together. You guys remember The Prodigal God? Remember I recommended that book to you? And we were reading it. I remember reading that book for the first time and thinking, Tim Keller, well done. You pulled some stuff out of this story that I'd never heard before. You know how Tim got that? He listened. As it turns out, there's a lot that God wants to say. But if we don't pay attention, we're not going to get it. God's got things to reveal to us, but those things have to actually be sought out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, and it is the privilege of kings to find it out, the Proverbs say. Well, each one of us is a king of our own desires, king of our own thought processes. There's an invitation that's issued forth to you, my beloved brothers and sisters, to pay attention and to dive deep into what God is saying. You know, the most simple things contain some of the greatest secrets. Not too long ago, I took a trip to the east, and I was walking through a market. Actually, I think Chris might have been with me. We were in Taiwan, and I was walking through a market with Angie. I don't know if you were there that day, Chris, but there was a market, and they were selling all kinds of things, from food to plants and flowers to it was underneath a bridge somewhere. There's a giant market underneath the bridge. And I was walking through, and I noticed some pieces of wood that had been debarked, and they were just cut and kind of sanded and sitting. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I mean, what would people want this for? I picked one of them up, and I just instinctively went to smell it. And when I lifted it up to smell this piece of wood, I discovered it was camphor wood. Now, some of you guys know about camphor. It's used in medicinal things, you know, Vicks vapor rub, right? It's got camphor in it, and various other medications. Well, I was astonished. I scratched the wood a little bit with my finger. It was like one of those scratch and sniff things, and I'm sniffing this camphor, and I'm walking around with this block. I said, I've got to buy this thing. And so I did. I went and bought this little block of wood, and I shoved it in my suitcase. And then I thought, well, are they going to let me in the country with this thing? And it turns out you can. As long as there's no bark on it, you can bring it. So I brought the camphor home, and I was so excited. I stuck it on my desk like a little paperweight, and every now and then I pick it up and I sniff it, and because I love the smell of camphor, I just do. And then I decided, you know what? This is kind of fun. Let me think about camphor. And I did a little research, and I found out that camphor wood was one of the major exports of that part of the world. When the British Empire ruled the earth, one of the major things that they would import from the East would be camphor wood. Shock. It was native to that region, and sort of Indonesia and Taiwan and the Philippines and places like that. Camphor wood was indigenous to that area. And they would bring this and bring it back, and they figured out all kinds of things that you could use it for. I discovered that there were hundreds of uses for camphor. The reason why it was no longer, it no longer became of all that import was because they found a synthetic way, a way to synthesize the camphor and fabricate it themselves in a laboratory somewhere. But it occurred to me that this simple little piece of wood contained secrets. Secrets to health and healing. They actually use it in gunpowder. They've used it in, there's all kinds of stuff. I can't even remember it all. But I wrote it all down once, and I did the study, and I was astonished. And here's what I realized. Some simple things contain deep secrets. But who's listening? And this parable that you've heard so many times before about the seed, it contains more than you think. As a matter of fact, I'd venture to say that we still haven't unpacked it, even after thousands of years of Christian preaching. I'm going to guess that there's even more in there that Jesus is giving us if we were to dig a little deeper, if we were to pay attention a little bit more. He wants to show us things, and he wants us to engage our brain when it comes to the gospel. Listen. Because with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. If you're just casually glancing at the scripture, then don't expect to get more than just a casual, oh, that's nice. We wonder sometimes why we're impoverished as the body of Christ. We don't have to be. The treasure trove is right in front of us. The Holy Spirit is with us. The Word of God is sown in our hearts through a variety of methods. It's sown in our hearts through preaching, and we listen to somebody who's preaching. It's sown in our hearts through the reading of it. It's sown in our hearts through the contemplation of the Scripture. It's sown in our hearts sometimes by observation. we observe people putting the gospel into practice, and it becomes clear to us that's the gospel right there. I want to tell you that we as a generation have been quite distracted by many other things competing for us to listen. And I'm not going to do that sort of ubiquitous preacher's thing and pick up my cell phone and point to all the apps and all the news, and I don't have to because I just already did. I'm not going to pick it up and blame that, but I'm going to say that distractions abound. Distractions abound in our relationships. Distractions abound in our creativity. Distractions abound in our families. And there are many things in which we could be greatly enriched if we were to pay a little closer attention. Here, this parable relates directly to the Word of God. But I wonder if our marriages would be stronger if we were to pay a little closer attention to them. If our children would be healthier if we paid a little more attention to them. If our community would be a little stronger if we paid a little more attention to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a principle here that is at work, and it works across the board. Most importantly, of course, we should know what God is saying. But there is tremendous joy that God wants to give to those who will take these things to heart, let the root of it grow deep and strong, and we will produce fruit for his kingdom. I thought perhaps that I should note that for those of you who preach or share, young and old alike, it's important to recognize what Jesus was telling his disciples in these parables. He was saying, not everybody that you preach to is going to listen. A couple weeks ago, I told you that not everybody is going to like you. Even when you do everything right. As a matter of fact, if you're anything like Jesus, doing everything right will land you a whole bunch of enemies. Not everybody is going to listen to what you have to say. Not everybody is going to pay attention to what you have to say. The word that you share has the power. If you're preaching the gospel, if you're sharing the love of Christ, and you're using the word of God, it has the power to completely transform whoever is in front of you. But not everybody's going to listen. And I think part of the lesson that Jesus was sharing with his disciples in this was that we have to have a strong heart, because the gospel presentation comes with disappointment. We know it can change people's lives, and we watch them not paying attention and falling into all kinds of snares, and our hearts are grieved over this. Jesus did say, on the opposite side of that, sometimes you preach the gospel and it's like sowing the word and you have no idea how that seed grows. It just does. That's one of the parables I love the most, is this idea that it's so far outside of me as the presenter. I'm just the guy scattering. Like Jesus said, the sower sows the word. I am going to be like him, sowing the word. And I don't know whether it's going to take or not. But here's the power of that word. If it takes, it will produce first the stalk and the grass, or then it'll grow the grain in the ear. I mean, it'll be ready for harvest, and I won't even know how it happened. Which gives me courage to get out there and begin telling my story. And that's the part I think I want to share with you today, for those of you who are beginning to be bold about sharing your faith with others. Think about this young man right here. Brought his mum to church, and I'm so proud of you for that. Tammy, it's really good to see you in church again, and we love you. It's been such a long time. I know you and your family are precious to Jesus and precious to us as well. Please give our love to Billy and to the rest of the family. But I'm so excited that Chris You know, Chris came back to church a few weeks ago, and he's just so excited right now. He's like, I'm going to get my mom to come to church with me. He's probably thinking, I'm going to get my dad to come to church with me too. And I told him that'll be impressive right there. Bring your dad to church. We haven't seen Billy for a long time, but I want to tell you, Chris, that as you share this gospel and this newfound joy in your heart with your friends and even family members, you don't know what that seed is capable of doing, but I'm telling you, sow it anyway. Even if when you sow it doesn't look like it's taking, just sow the seed anyway. Share that gospel anyway. Like for Tian, you know what? Get Tian to share and to pray. When she prays in faith over her friends, it doesn't matter what happens. What matters is that she's obedient to the Lord in doing that, because that's like sowing the seed here. The admonition isn't stop sowing the seed or stop wasting your seed on rocky soil. That's never given to us right here. Did you guys read that in there at all? I didn't read that at all. It just says the sower sows the seed. Some of it falls in here and there, but when it produces fruit, it's amazing. That's what I'm hearing. So get out there and start scattering the seed around indiscriminately. Just toss it around. As long as you're preaching the truth and living a life that demonstrates you believe what you're talking about. You know? He was this other one in the middle, this thing about the lamp. Suddenly, in the middle of parables about seed, he's got this idea about a lamp and a light. Why does he tell us that? Well, he tells us that because he's giving us courage. He's saying, look, we don't light a lamp so we can take it in, put it under a bed. I mean, you'll set the bed on fire. Back in those days, it wasn't electricity. It was a fire. A lamp was a lit fire. You don't put that under your bed. You're going to set your bed alight. You bring a lamp into a house so you can light up the whole room. Jesus is the light of the world. The eye of coming to the world that the world may have light, right? Jesus is the light of the world. And so what he's saying is, I didn't come into the world so that the light could be set under a basket. I'm telling you that I am going to bring light to the whole world. So while it doesn't look like there's much impact right now, don't lose it. Don't let your hearts fail because of fear or disappointment. No, continue to march in with the lamp lit, because I'm going to reveal all the secrets. That's the word that we're given. And I think discouragement is perhaps one of the greatest reasons why we don't share the gospel. Because we're discouraged. We feel like nobody wants to listen anyway. Let's not be the ones who judge the soil. I'd rather just dip my hand in the seed basket and throw out the seed and let God determine what the soil looks like. When it comes to my own heart being the soil, I have some responsibility there. That's where the part comes in where I have to pay attention and listen. That's where I have to say, you know what? I want to hear more. I want to know more. I want to dig in and find out what that camphor can do. And it smells good. That's great. But it's got more power in it than just a nice fragrance. It can heal people who are sick. It's got dynamite power in it. This is the gospel, my friends. Time for us to hold fast. There's more. We didn't get to the part about Jesus stilling the storm. But the structure of the chapter of Mark, it's kind of easy to see the structure when you highlight the words "he said to them." He said to them marks each one of just these new statements. And if you take that and you begin to work out the structure, you'll see that there's an overarching message that Mark is trying to get you to see. And really the thing he's trying to get you to see is demonstrated so powerfully in that final story, the story of Jesus calming the storm. Because I think sometimes when we're out in the world with the gospel, we feel like we're up against the powers of hell and we're losing. And it seems like Jesus isn't with us, but he is. Don't be discouraged if you think the church is powerless. It's not the church that has to be powerful. It's the Lord of the church who is powerful. The disciples are in the boat, the one that Jesus got into when he was teaching. All of the disciples are in the boat. It's a great opportunity for the devil to undo the whole thing. He can kill all the disciples and Jesus in one fell swoop. But you can't kill Jesus like that, because he knows how to still the storm. And so I want to tell you that as you look at church and you think, wow, the church really ought to have more authority, ought to have more power. No, I tell you, the church just needs to have Jesus. If the church has Jesus, we've got everything we need. Everything we need. So let's go. Let's get in a boat and go to the other side. Let's go do some things we didn't know we could do. Let's go carry the gospel to people that are unwilling. Let's go preach to those who don't want to listen and those who are so blind they can't see. Let's go do it anyway. You know why? Because sometimes the seed falls in good soil. And when it does, David, lives are transformed. Look around you. These are lives that were transformed because somebody, somewhere, was brave enough to preach the word. So please, my friends, carry the gospel and share it indiscriminately. Just share it. And let Jesus quiet the storm. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your amazing word. Thank you, Lord, that you are able to do more than we could ask or imagine. Jesus, you taught us through simple lessons that you've got a lot you want to say. I pray that our hearts would be fired up to listen to you. Right now, if there's anybody in the congregation, anybody in the house today who feels distant from the Lord, maybe you feel like you've never been able to call Jesus your Lord. I want to invite you today to consider that there is no greater life to be lived than to live in Christ. There is no life at all to be lived except in Christ. In fact, the Bible says that we are dead even while we live. Maybe you already know that. Jesus is here today to bring life to you. What does he require of you? That you humble your heart, confess your sin, ask for God's forgiveness through Jesus, and turn your life over to him. Tall order? Well, I don't know. I think it's a small price to pay for eternal life. Today, I ask you, will you surrender to Jesus? If you will, then pray the simple prayer. This is a beginning. This is a starting point. You can pray like this. Almighty God, I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. I have sinned against you. Oh God, forgive me. Jesus Christ, be my Savior. You and no one else. I surrender my life to you. It's a simple prayer. But if you pray it from the depth of your heart, I can promise you that God hears you. And here's the power of that prayer. The power is that God is a God who keeps his promise. He said, all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Saved from what, you say? Ah, saved from your sin. And saved from the punishment, the eternal damnation. Saved into God's family to be his child. That's amazing. If you prayed that prayer, whether you're listening online or here in the room, I would love to take a moment to pray with you privately. If you'd like to talk about it, you can come speak to me, or if you're online, you can send me an email, pastor@livinghopefamilychurch.com. I won't announce it to everybody. I'll just keep it between you and me. But we can pray together, and I can give you some pointers on what comes next. But if you prayed that prayer, you should tell someone. Because God heard you, and you are his. Lord, I pray your grace upon each one who's listening today. May your peace be our portion. Would you walk with us, O Lord, and may we carry your gospel, even in these earthen vessels. May we carry the glory of God to a world around us. Bless this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.